Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Very exciting time during the break there. Shane Rosenthal, the producer of the White Horse Inn, stopped by and showed us a very interesting book he came across. I don't know. I'm no expert, but it looks to me like a very ancient volume of Luther's works. Shane, you might want to watch leaving the station because this is a nasty neighborhood. I mean, once you leave the parking lot, I cannot guarantee your safety with all these seminarians hanging around out there if they find out you've got a valuable book in your satchel. Shane Rosenthal has his hair parted in the middle, and he wears a goatee and glasses and a maroon sweater. Just, you know, he's an easy mark. So watch your step when you go home with that book. We're looking at the audio, some of the audio, we'll do some more tomorrow, from Barbara Walters' special last night, 2 hours on heaven, where is it, how do we get there? We've heard from the Christians, from Pastor Ted Haggard, from Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, from the Reverend Calvin Butts. How do you think they answered the questions on heaven, where is it, how do you get there? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll go to the phones here in just a moment. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is holding its symposia January the 17th through the 21st. We talked earlier today with Dr. Peter Scher. He's looking forward to the symposia. This is for pastors and for lay people, usually about 1,000 people there. In fact, you really want to make plans to go because I don't know if they're going to put a cap on how many people can go. They meet in their field house, and it's always packed full. It's a great opportunity. They're talking about justification in the Scriptures and the person and work of the Holy Spirit. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call them, area code 260-452-2257-47. 260-452-2247, our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for the logo for the Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne Symposia, January the 17th through the 21st, there on their campus. Jim calls from St. Louis. Jim, welcome.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well.
So I was calling as far as I wish I'd have caught that special last night, that's for sure.
Have you heard some of what we've been playing?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. It's really interesting. My concept on it, as far as being a Southern Baptist coming from a Catholic, a Roman Catholic, that is, and I was blessed because my father had taken me to every denomination there possibly could be so I can, you know, choose for myself. As far as everybody believing that, yeah, good deeds, this, that, and the other, but the rabbi hit it right dead on the nose. If you go in there intending that, okay, this is a mark up in heaven for me, forget about it. You done blew it. Because that's not how the system works. You do it out of good heart. You do it by good deeds, treating people right. There's a lot of people that think they are good people. That's fine. But you have to read King James, and it tells you what your works need be, such as evangelism, etc. Not being ashamed to stand up and speak. As long as we all believe in Jesus came and sacrificed, etc., and the only way to heaven is through him, you'll do fine.
Jim, thank you. That's what I wish would have come out more clearly with all the Christians there. And you got to know when you're being interviewed by Barbara Walters that most of what you say is going to end up on the editing floor. You got to know that. So you got to give your answers in such a way so that no matter how much they chop up what you have to say, and they're going to for the sake of time and flow and everything else, you have to give your answers in such a way so that the cross can't get cut out. You'd think these people who spend all the time in front of the cameras would know these things. Kathy calls from her car. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. Barbara Walters put on there what she wanted on there. But another thing, you know, you guys forget that Paul said, laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. I've run the race. And the fact is he was boasting in the Lord and what the Lord had prepared for them that love him. He couldn't even tell us in words what God had prepared for those that love him and obey him. So to have that personal relationship with Jesus, he is the bridegroom for heaven's sakes. I don't understand why you had to say anything against that. He is our bridegroom. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We are to love him like a chaste virgin would love her spouse.
So I'm trying to sort out what you're saying here, Kathy. What did you hear me say that upset you?
Well, the point is that you hear people call in and say, well, it's not by works. No, we don't get to heaven by works, but we will be rewarded according to our works. Many of our works are going to burn. And so when people try to say that the Lord doesn't look at us in the sense, and if we're not letting the Holy Spirit work through us, for crying out loud, most of our works are going to burn to begin with.
Well, Kathy, just one question before I let you go. So what kind of a reward are you expecting?
The crown of righteousness and hopefully the five crowns.
Who's righteousness?
The Lord.
All right, good answer. Thank you very much. It is Christ's righteousness from beginning to end. What gets rewarded in heaven? This is the question. Why does God reward sinners? For the same reason he saves them. It's not Rick Warren's scheme that says Jesus gets you to heaven, you earn the rewards. No. Why does God does reward in heaven far beyond anything Rick Warren's promising you. I guarantee you that. Why does God reward sinners? For the same reason he saves them, for Christ's sake alone. Does good works get rewarded in heaven? Sure they do. Whose? The ones I produced from the exercise of my own will? No. That's going to burn. Kathy's right. What gets rewarded? The works that are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what gets rewarded in heaven. Paul says it. No man can lay a foundation other than that which has already been laid, Jesus Christ. And how we build on it? Well, if you build with human works, will, efforts, doing things out of hope for reward, in other words, wood, hay, stubble, straw, that'll burn. That burns real easy. And there are other things to build with. Gold, precious stones. Those, the gifts of Christ's righteousness, the good works that he produces in us, they're good not because we're doing them, they're good because he's doing them. That's all rewarded, and far beyond anything Rick Warren promises. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So we don't do our good works out of hope for reward. We don't. Do we look forward to a reward? Sure we do. But the good works are not done for God or for ourselves, but for our neighbor. In other words, we give them away. We don't keep them for ourselves, hoping to hoard up enough to earn the reward we're hoping for. We give them away freely to someone who needs them, our neighbor. Kathy calls from St. Charles. Kathy, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm just concerned when I hear the Christians and the way this was edited, and maybe they made their point and it was taken off, but it sounds to me like it's faith plus works, and I think that's not going to be any different than what the Muslims have to say or, you know, other faiths. I guess that would be my concern. At the end, I didn't see the program, but I would think if at the end it's concluded that they're all about the same, that would be a concern.
You know, that's a big concern of mine as well, Kathy. Thank you for the call. The worst message that could come out of a special like this is, well, you know, the Christians, they do a lot of Jesus talk. And the Muslims do a lot of Muhammad talk. And the Jews do a lot of, well, talk. But they're all kind of aimed in the same direction. Don't you think they all really, at the end, mean the same thing? That's the conclusion that is so popularly drawn today, which makes it all the more imperative that Christians, when the microphone or the camera is put in their face, make it clear, no uncertain terms, in a way that no editor could possibly change, the difference between Christianity and all other religions. That the hope of eternal life is grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ alone. Period. Al calls from his car. Hi, Al.
Hello, Todd. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Todd, this may be just brutally I wouldn't say non-Christian, but just brutally blunt. I don't see why there's such a worry over good works. My basic logic on it is, if it's a good work and we know about it, it's not a good work anymore. Because we just tainted it with sin. We just touched it. So the good works that everybody worries about are going to be things that happened that we didn't even know we did.
Well, and here it is, Al. What we have to remember is that they are good because God deems them good for Christ's sake. And even when we get our grubby, sinful hands all over him,
yeah,
for Christ's sake, he still deems them good. He still does, for Christ's sake.
But for the people that are looking to take credit for him,
yeah,
there is no credit for that person. I mean, there's credit for the person in Christ, but it's like, you know, we're in the Boy Scouts and we're going to earn these merit badges. It's just, maybe I'm too lackadaisical and maybe I'm too relaxed in just Christ has done it all.
Well,
he'll do it all.
Al, you know, thank you for the call. I wonder that sometimes myself. And I think I hear from all different sectors, I hear Christians like, Christians aren't doing enough works. Christians need to do more works. And I'm wondering, what kind of Christians are you hanging out with? Where is this mass of Christendom that's just all sitting on their fat backside and doing nothing, staying home all day long? Where are they? It's not what I see. What I see is Christians... I see... Is it ever without sin? Absolutely not, but... I see Christians who, in the words of Paul, living lives of daily sacrifice. What are we looking for? I'll tell you, that's the problem, Al. The problem is we're looking for people to do the big, pull a rabbit out of a hat. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for some guy to make a, saw a lady in half. That's what we think is good works. And we forget, and this is Luther's great insight, we forget that the good works of Christians are often found right there at home, right there in the living room and the bedroom and the home and the backyard and the school and the workplace. And God is looking upon them through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is declaring them good beyond anything someone who says, look at me, I pulled a rabbit out of a hat, or I sawed a woman in half. We're looking for the big spectacular, big ticket item, big show things. Even some of my fellow Lutheran pastors are whining on about good works. And I wonder, what are you looking for? Send your blinking people home to love their wives and their husbands and their children and do their jobs faithfully as Christians and quit worrying about it. Preach Christ and then send them into their vocations. I think a big part of it is that maybe those who prattle on about it so much have too much time on their hands. If you've got enough time to notice the lack of works in your neighbor, maybe you're not busy enough. Ever think about that? Ooh, that got me off on a tangent. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We will try to get some more audio from this special. Heaven, where is it? How do we get there? But first, let's talk with Jason, who calls from his car. Jason, thanks for waiting.
Thank you. I think I understand what you're saying about our good works actually being for our neighbor. My comment or question is, how do we guard against stoicism and sort of an unfeeling sense of I'm just doing this because it's good rather than, well, if you understand what I'm saying about stoicism, I can't really articulate it better.
Well, do you mean just kind of like it's a maybe like a business-like attitude? I'm doing this because it's good and it's kind of my duty.
Right, rather than having a joy from my heart that this is beautiful and good in God's sight, even. I don't know.
Well, I can give you a little bit piece of advice, Jason.
Uh-huh.
Focus not upon the work, but upon the neighbor.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? Do you have a wife?
Yes, I do.
Do you love her?
Yes, I do.
With all your heart, right? I mean, in so much as a husband can claim to do such a thing.
Yes.
Right. Do you have any children?
We have one on the way.
You have one on the way. You're going to love this. Believe me, the minute the little thing comes out, you're going to love that little child instantly. Love at first sight. Now, you want to talk about heartfelt. There's your neighbors, your parents, your friends. We always worry about the person way off in Africa. And we say, God, I love those people in Africa. No, we don't. We don't know them. Can we show them love? Sure we can. But if you want if you're looking for some kind of a spiritual feeling of heartfelt joy in serving your neighbor, I'd focus more on your neighbor than on the work or the feeling and say, I love my wife. What does that mean? That means I put her first. I serve her. and stop worrying about whether God counts it as good. That is God's business. We are terrible judges of our own good works. We are each individual Christian is the worst possible judge of his own good works. He's the worst possible judge of it. We leave it to God. Jason, thank you for the call, Jason. Love your wife. Go home and love your wife and your kids. If she says, take out the trash, take out the trash. If she says, can you help me do this, help her do this. And when the child arrives, there's going to be an awful lot of that, probably more than you have time for. All right, this is an imam. If you don't know what that is, it's a clergyman from the Muslim faith. Barbara Walters, they're talking about heaven.
Imam Faisal, do Muslims believe in heaven?
Yes, Muslims do believe in heaven and hell.
Faisal Abdul Rauf is an Islamic scholar. What does heaven look like?
We are told we will be in comfortable homes, reclining on silk couches. We will have people coming, you know, servants, lovely servants, young youths to regale you, Barbara, residing in gardens beneath which rivers flow. So we're given the delights of sex, the delights of wine, the delights of food, with all of their positive things without their negative aspects.
So literal was the Muslim belief in their teachings that one story says it was in heaven that Muhammad apparently got God to reduce the number of times a day a Muslim must pray, bargaining him down from 50 prayers a day facing west to 5.
All right, that's the bit with the Muslim imam. You know, two things struck me about that. Maybe you heard it too. When she asked, do Muslims believe in heaven? He said, yes, we believe in heaven and hell. That was not an answer that, at least I could tell, was forthcoming from the Christians. The two go hand in hand. They do. And the other thing is, I'm fascinated by the Muslim description of heaven. I know a lot of kind of derisive comments have been made about Muslims' description of heaven. There's going to be virgins and all this kind of stuff. But think about it. That picture of heaven is far closer to the picture Jesus paints. I'm not saying their picture of heaven is accurate, but I'm saying they understand something in their distorted and false view of heaven that is actually true. Heaven is a real place, and it is a place that is as real as this place. It's not an ethereal existence in another dimension where we kind of all are cubist, you know, sculptures floating around interacting with one another through lightning bolts. It's a place full of human beings, made possible by the first man to inhabit it in his body, Jesus Christ. And it is, we tend to think of it as material. Oh, they're going to eat and drink. We will. Oddly enough, the Muslim's picture was not a suburban picture of everyone's beautiful and everyone's can eat as much as they want and not get fat. It was much closer to the picture of the wedding banquet, strangely enough, that Jesus paints. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've got one final piece of audio, and we'll have some more tomorrow. There's plenty to play. We'll have some more tomorrow from Barbara Walters' special, Heaven, Where Is It? How Do We Get There? This one comes from Rabbi... No? You said Jackie Mason. As I await Jeff's slow typing, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This one does come from a rabbi. This one's from Neil Gilman of New York's Jewish Theological Seminary. Again on the subject, covered last night in this special on heaven.
Orthodox Jews pray just 3 times a day. And while almost all Jewish people believe that death is not the end of human existence, Judaism is more directed to life in the present. Many Jews believe the resurrection of the dead will occur in Olam Haba, Hebrew, for the world to come. A time when the Messiah comes to initiate a perfect world of peace and prosperity. Jews believe that those buried here in Jerusalem will be resurrected first. Rabbi Neil Gilman is a professor of philosophy at New York's Jewish Theological Seminary.
For the past 2,000 years, most Jews believed that at death, the body and the soul separate. The body is interred and disintegrates in the earth. The soul goes off to be with God. At the end of days, God will resurrect bodies, will reunite body and soul, and the individual will come before God to account for his or her life.
The Jewish version of afterlife sounds a great deal like the Christian version of afterlife.
But of course, the early Christians were all Jews, and early Christianity was formed out of Judaism.
The cardinal felt that the purpose of life was to go to heaven.
I would not put it that way. I would think that the purpose of life is to live a decent life in the presence of God, with an awareness that there's a God in the world and that we want to please and to worship God. And that's reason enough to live the good life.
Is the concept of heaven less important to Jewish people?
There is a tremendous emphasis in our tradition about what you do with yourself in your lifetime here on earth, and that you do it for its own sake, not for the sake of getting a reward.
All right, that's the Jewish rabbi from New York Jewish Theological Seminary. Not for the sake of reward. Oddly enough, it's the Jew who is able to say, not for the sake of the reward. Now, the Christian would say the reward is already won by Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection. Tomorrow, we'll hear more audio from this special, Heaven, Where Is It, and How Do We Get There? Think about a year-end tax-deductible gift to issues, etc. We provide this kind of timely coverage of things like the Barbara Walters special on heaven, your opportunity to respond, and our response as well, before the show aired and after the show. That's the immediacy of live radio. For a year-end tax-deductible gift to issues, etc., you can donate online. Our website address, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or donate by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Any donation of $50 or more in the last 2 weeks of the year, you'll receive a CD of hymns from the Contrai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Tomorrow on the program, we'll hear some more audio. There's some that we did not get to and an awful lot more that we will. And we'll get your response to the Barbara Walters special on heaven again tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Also, don't forget, Dr. Norman Nagel reading and commenting on Luke chapter 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.